Good to be with you again tonight. God give us Christian homes. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And we're going to be talking about becoming a better son and a better daughter. Young people, I'm glad to see you tonight. And I'm glad you're going to be studying with me from the Word of God. And there's things all of us can get from the lesson tonight. And young people, I'm sorry you do not get to hear the lesson that went right before this, which was about the parents. And so you don't get to hear that one, but you get to hear the one about being better sons and daughters. As I was selecting lessons to bring to you as we are visiting, I didn't think it was fair to bring lessons which may be those that I would preach at a meeting somewhere, those I've worked on quite a bit, and those that I've fine-tuned a little bit, because if I were to work with you here, you would not hear my meeting sermons. You would hear the everyday Sunday sermons. So that's what I've tried to bring. Now, Scott Love pointed out to me tonight that I had a mistake in my PowerPoint. First time I'd ever used the PowerPoint, had a mistake in it. And that will happen from time to time. And this is a lesson I presented last Sunday in Thomasville. And so you may catch a mistake with this also. In Genesis chapter 1, the Lord tells us about the creation. And He tells us that man was created the sixth day and created male and female. Chapter 2 gives us the details of that. That God caused the sleep to come upon Adam, took a rib from his body, closed up the flesh, took the rib, and made woman. Chapter 4 then tells us about the first two children to live upon the face of the earth, Cain and Abel. And this was the family. Children, you're part of the family. Children, you're part of God's divine plan for mankind on earth. If there were no children after Adam and Eve were gone, that would be it. None of us would be here today. I'm so happy we have such a good group of young people here, and I can see just being around you that they are good people, and I'm glad that they're here, and I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad my kids, too, are feeling at home. Feeling at home, we had to make them spit out their gum while sitting in the pew. We had to say, no, don't do that, don't do that. So they're feeling at home, and so I'm glad for that also. What can we do to change and become better sons and daughters? Those of us of every age who have parents, blessed with parents still alive, what can we do? Well, first of all tonight, turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Young people, to answer this question, how can I become a better son or a better daughter? Let's go and look at the Apostle Paul as he was writing to the young man Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 and beginning in verse 14. Now this is what the Apostle Paul tells this young man. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So young people, you can become a better son, you can become a better daughter. Old people, if you still have your parents here, you're blessed to still have your parents here. You too can become a better son and a better daughter. How do we do that? We must go to the Word of God. But young people, that's not a popular thing to do today. As a matter of fact, let me give you a little statistic from U.S. News and World Report. This is a little dated from 1994. 80% of Americans believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. 80%. But only 48% believe there is but one set of values that is right. In other words, what that's telling us, and that's over 10 years old, that a lot of people believe the Bible is the Word of God, but it's not the only place you may find truth. Now, they're wrong about that. Jesus tells us that God's Word is truth. It is the only standard for truth today. young people to become a better son, to become a better daughter, we simply need to go to the Word of God and find out what it says. And that's what I want to do with you tonight. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, the Bible does not say a whole lot about being a son or a daughter. Doesn't say a whole lot about being a parent, as a matter of fact. In that lesson, we noticed, wasn't able to share that with you. But in that lesson, I made the point that God, with the many things that He tells us, gives us some information, and then He also gives us some intelligence. The intelligence we need to know how to do these things. In Ephesians chapter 6, and beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Now, young folks, go with me over to Colossians, two more books over in your New Testament. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. I want to read to you the other verse in the Bible that tells us about being a son and being a daughter. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Colossians 3:20. "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things." Now, I want you to note that right now. "In all things, be obedient to them in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, up on the PowerPoint, I have a few points that I want to make tonight. The first one is, young folks, the Lord wants you to obey your parents. The word obedience there is the same word used in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24 that a wife is to be subject to her husband. Now, this means voluntary subjection. Voluntary subjection. Young people, the fact of the matter is you're going to get old enough someday, if you're not already. You're going to be big enough someday where your parents can't make you do what they want you to do. You're going to have to just do it. You're going to have to make up your mind that you're going to do what your parents want you to do because it's what you want to do. As I was doing some research for this lesson, I ran into a story about our president, President Bush. And I was glad to find this story, and it goes back to 2003. It was in the Washington Times, and it talks about President Bush as he was visiting with his parents one day. He had spent the night there. He got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, goes downstairs and has his typical cup of coffee and sitting on the sofa, and his parents were there, and he puts his feet up on the table. Suddenly his mother says, yelling out, "Put your feet down. Put your feet down." Well, our president's father replied, For goodness sake, Barbara, he's the president of the United States." In other words, he can put his feet wherever he wants to. He's the President of the United States. Well, our President's mother responded to her husband and said, "I don't care. I don't want his feet on my table." And you know what he did? He took his feet off her table. Now, his wife remarked regarding this incident, Mrs. Bush observed that even presidents have to listen to their mothers. And I thought that was a good observation. And I think that's good to see. Here is a grown man, the leader of the strongest nation in all the world, and he gave himself to voluntarily subject himself to his mother's request, to put it nicely. And young folks, the Lord wants you to obey your mother and your father. The Lord wants you to voluntarily give yourself over. There are going to be some times when you're out and about and you're going to be away from your parents and they're not going to know exactly what you're doing, but they need to be able to trust that you're going to be doing the things they've taught you to do. And you do this not because they're there watching you or they see what's going on or they're going to hear about it, but because God wants you to. And you give yourself over to obey your parents, whether they see you or not, whether they're watching you or not, because it's what God wants to do. There is a term for this type of person, and it's called meekness. Meekness. Meekness is the inner strength to do what is right, to obey authority, to do what is right even when we are wronged. If someone does something wrong to us, we still are strong enough to do the right thing. That's meekness. Jesus was meek. Sometimes with meekness we think of a very weak person. Sometimes we think of a meek person being a weak person. It's the exact opposite. A meek person is a strong person. And young people, you must be meek. You must be meek to be strong and do the right thing even when it's not popular. To do the right thing even when everyone else is doing the wrong thing. To obey your parents and do the things they've taught you to do even when you want to do something else. The second thing we see about being a child and daughter, being a son or daughter, is that we must obey them in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. We must obey them in the Lord. Now what God has said here, as young people, God wants you to obey your parents as long as they do not ask you to do something that's a sin. If they ask you to get your feet off the table, the Lord wants you to get your feet off the table. If they ask you to take out the trash, the Lord wants you to take out the trash. If they ask you not to use a particular word that you think is okay, the Lord wants you to obey your parents. Because it's not a sin for you to do the things that you've been asked to do. Perhaps you remember Peter as he was commanded by the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, to stop preaching about Jesus. And Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verses 19 through 20, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." In other words, Peter says, we cannot do what you have told us to do because it would be a sin. And young folks, if your parents ask you to do something that's a sin, and I trust that they will never do that, then you're not to do it. But as long as they're asking you to do something that is not a sin, the Lord wants you to obey them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, also Paul says, "For this is right." For this is right. You know, from the garden, Adam and Eve committed the sin and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and all of a sudden their eyes were opened, and all of a sudden they knew that they were naked and it was wrong to be naked, and so they covered themselves. They understood from that point forward that some things were right and some things were wrong. And this is the same thing about obeying your parents. Yes, the Lord wants you to do it. Yes, the Lord has commanded you to do it. But just take it on a lower level than that. It's just the right thing to do, young people. Your parents who brought you into the world. Parents who work so hard to clothe you and to feed you and to train you and to instruct you. I saw a statistic not too long ago, not including college, that a parent will spend about $168,000 on a child. $168,000 on a child. And that's not considering college, and college can be rather expensive too. Young people, you think about, and I know it's hard for you to appreciate it, what your parents do for you. You think about what your parents do for you. You look at the clothes that you have on. You think about the food that you eat. You do not have to worry what to put on and what to eat. And you probably have somebody get you up in the morning to do what you need to do, and they ask you to do very little. The least that you owe them is to do what they ask you to do. This is the right thing to do. The right thing to do. Also, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, as we've read, the Lord tells us to honor our father and our mother. Honor our father and our mother. The word honor means to put on a pedestal, to place a high value upon them. Young people, you are to look up to your parents. That's not popular, is it? It's not popular. What's popular today? To look down at your parents, to criticize your parents, to make fun of your parents, to think bad of your parents, to think that they're just idiots and know nothing. Now, that's what's popular today. And young folks, you can't just go along with what's popular because that's not what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord wants you to honor your parents. The Lord wants you to place a high value upon your parents. The Lord wants you to look up to your parents. That doesn't stop when you're 16 or 17 years old or 18 years old or 20 years old or 40 years old or 50 years old. Older people, honor your parents. Honor your parents. Give them the respect that they are due. Give them the respect. You're probably like me. There's some things I do because it's what my father wants me to do, and I'm 47, almost 50. And that's the reason I do it. Because it's not wrong for me to do it, and my father wants me to do it, and so that's what I do. Because I honor my father and my mother. I respect my father and mother, and the older I get, the more I respect them. And that's what the Lord wants you to do also. Now, finally, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, this is well-pleasing to God. Now, young folks, I just want us to understand what this means. And older folks, too. Now, if we don't honor our parents, even if we're 50 years old, if we don't honor our mother and father, I want us to understand what this means. Young folks, if you're not obeying your parents, the Lord is looking down upon you and He's not happy. That's what it means. The reverse of that is true also, that if you are obeying your parents and you do honor your parents, yes, you're going to make mistakes. Everybody does. And yes, there are some times when you're going to be disobedient and you need to repent and do the right things, and everyone does. We all understand that. We all understand that. If you go to bed at night and you're in a good relationship with your parents, oh yes, made some mistakes, but you made that right. And you go to bed perhaps and you're like me and you say your prayer at night to God and wanting Him to keep you safe and asking for the things that you're asking upon. And God is looking down upon you. If you're in the right relationship with your parents, young folks, the Lord is looking down upon you and He is happy about that. But if you've been disobedient and you've been rebellious, and maybe you snuck off and did something you knew wasn't the right thing to do, or maybe you're just making fun of your parents or whatever it is, treating them badly, the Lord is looking down upon you as you lay upon your bed and He's not happy with you. And so let's realize the seriousness of this. We're not talking about some little game here. We're not talking about something that kids do out on the playground. We're talking about something very, very, very serious, something very important to the Lord, whatever age you are. Let us all make sure that when we go to bed at night, throughout the day, that the Lord is looking down upon us and that He is very, very happy with us. Let's look at some Bible examples, young people. I wanted to pull up some Bible examples. I have them up there for you right now. Young folks, be turning your Bibles with me over, well, everybody, over to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and I want you all to try to put yourself in Isaac's shoes, young people. I want you to put yourself in Isaac's shoes. God tested Abraham. And God told Abraham to take his son, the son through whom He had promised to just multiply his seed, and to take him and to offer him as a burnt offering. In other words, to take his son and to take a knife and to kill his son after he ties him up, kill his son, and then just burn his flesh and just stand there and watch his son go up in smoke. Now that's the command, and Abraham well knew exactly what he's talking about. He had offered animals before. He knew exactly what it was about, and he knew the stench of burning flesh, and he knew exactly what the Lord was asking him to do. Now I want you to put yourself in Isaac's shoes, though. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, and them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, I don't know about you. If somebody goes, tie me up, I'm not going to stand there and let them do it. Isaac gave in to his father to obey him and to be submissive, believing his father that the Lord was going to provide something else to sacrifice. Something else to sacrifice. So he stood there and he allowed his father to bind him and to be laid across the altar. And I suspect Isaac had witnessed these sacrifices before and he knew what came next. And you remember the story that Abraham lifted his hand to slay his son and the Lord stopped him and provided another sacrifice. Young people, this is what it means to honor your father and your mother and to obey your parents. Not that any of them are going to bind you and put you across an altar and raise a knife to slay you, but you get the idea as to what we're talking about. Now, turn your Bibles with me over to Judges chapter 11. And here's one that, to me, probably even more brings out the point. And this occurred with Jephthah and his daughter. In thinking about this lesson and preparing this lesson, this story immediately flashed into my mind. Jephthah was a judge, and he was going out to fight with the Ammonites. And he made a vow to the Lord that if the Lord would give him victory, that whatever was the first thing to come out of his house, that's what he would give to the Lord. So the Lord made him victorious in the battle, and he goes home. He goes home. Now, Judges 11, and begin in verse 34. Follow along with me. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, behold, his daughter was coming out to meet him with tambourines and with dancing. Now she was his one and only child. Besides her, he had no son or daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot take it back." Well, get the picture here. Jephthah was victorious over the Ammonites. Here he's coming home. His daughter's coming out of the house. She's celebrating the victory. Her father is home. Dad has some bad news. Dad has some bad news. Said, "Daughter, why in the world did you have to be the one to come out of the house? Couldn't you have been out second? Couldn't you have at least sent something out before you came out? Look, I made this promise to the Lord." I want you to notice now in verse 36. "So she said to him, 'My father, you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me as you have said, since the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the sons of Ammon.'" Verse 37. "She said to her father, 'Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months that I may go to the mountains and weep because of my virginity and with my companions.'" Her father comes to her and says, "Look, daughter, I made this promise to the Lord. I promised I was going to give to him the first to come out. Now I've got to take you and I've got to sacrifice you to the Lord." And she said, "Dad, you made a promise to the Lord. You've got to keep it. Dad, you made a promise to the Lord. You've got to keep it." She goes off for 2 months and she comes back after 2 months. Verse 39, she returns to her father. And he did according to his vow, and that was to offer her as a burnt offering. Could you imagine being the father, and can you imagine being the daughter? I can't imagine. Young people, your parents aren't going to take you and burn you upon some altar, but this just teaches us the lesson. This is what it means to honor your father and mother and to obey your parents. And here we have two very good examples. Third example is Jesus. And I want you very quickly to turn over with me to Luke chapter 2. You know, if there was any child upon the face of the earth that could get away with disobeying his parents, it would be Jesus, wouldn't it? That'd be the one. But you remember the story about Jesus. Jesus, Luke chapter 2, and beginning in verse 41, Jesus goes with his parents from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the Passover at the age of 12. And I know we have some young people here that are around the age of 12. I've got a daughter who is the age of 12. And I look at her and I say, man, she's pretty young. But that's the age Jesus was right there. Very, very young. He was just a boy. And you remember what was going on. He was there and he was in Jerusalem. And he was there with the teachers and with all the Jews. And he was in the temple and he was listening and just astounding people in the temple with all of his great knowledge. And his parents come and find him. Says, what are you doing here? Don't you know I should be about my father's business? Was his response. And they say, well, son, you got to come back home with us. And it seems to me he didn't really want to go home with them. He wanted to be there in Jerusalem, wanted to be in the temple, wanted to do the things he was doing, but he gave in to his parents. I want you to notice what it says in verses 51 and 52, Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. Verse 52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Young people, this is Jesus Christ. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he was just a boy. Just a boy. He stayed behind, wanted to do something else. They come to get him. Sort of seems to me he really didn't want to go, but he goes anyway, and he was in subjection to them. That's what the Lord expects, to be in subjection to our parents. Young people, God wants you to put a high value upon your parents. He wants you to respect them. He wants you to obey them, and this is well-pleasing to Him. Young folks, to do this, you're going to have to flee lust. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy the evangelist. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, says, now flee from youthful lust. Young folks, you're going to have to flee from youthful lust. You're going to have to flee from the lust of disobeying your parents. You're going to have to flee from the lust of going and doing what you want to do rather than what your parents want you to do. You're going to have to flee from the peer pressure that is that of disrespecting your parents and disobeying your parents. You're going to have to run away from that. Flee means to run away for safety. Run away for safety. And do what? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now let me share some scriptures with you very quickly. Young folks, it's your decision whether or not you're going to flee lust and whether or not you're going to accept your parents' discipline. Discipline comes two ways. Number one, it's instructive. When they teach you things, when they're talking to you and speaking to you, they are disciplining you with oral instruction. And also the second way is punitive or corrective discipline. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Young folks, you have to be a wise son, a wise daughter, and accept your father's discipline and your mother's discipline. It's up to you. You can be closed-minded and you cannot listen to them, and you can ignore what they're telling you. And if you're punished for doing the wrong things, you can get a bad attitude and you can be hateful toward them, and you can just determine within your heart not to do what they've asked you to do. And that's wrong. That's wrong. It's up to you whether or not you're going to listen to them. And I pray, I hope that you're wise. And looking at the great group of young people here, we have some wise young people here. looking at the young men as they have participated in our service this morning and this evening, we have some great young people. But listen, listen. Don't stop. Don't stop. It's up to you either to accept it or reject it. You must continue to accept their discipline. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Young people, realize this. The Lord has told you this, that foolishness is bound up in your young hearts. You're not wise yet. You do not understand many things of that which is right and that which is wrong. Let me illustrate this right now. Time magazine, February 25th, 2002. According to a study published in Effective Clinical Practice, teens whose parents restrict them from watching R-rated movies are one-third as likely to smoke or drink than kids who have no such restrictions. Young people, your parents need to tell you, do not go to R-rated movies. And you need that instruction. And it's going to be up to you whether you accept it or not. You're going to come to an age where you could sneak off and go if that's really what you wanted to do. Listen to your parents. And we see here just with this simple statistic, of course we know God knows exactly what He's talking about. Just having a parent that says, do not go to an R-rated movie, you're one-third as likely to smoke or drink or do drugs or those types of things. Just because your parents loved you enough to say, don't do it, it's wrong. Young folks, you remember 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. If you go to R-rated movies or you play video games that are evil or you listen to evil music, your heart will be changed into something that is evil. That is what the Lord has said. Young people, when your parents tell you don't do something, don't do it. When they tell you it's wrong, believe what they're telling you. When they tell you it's evil, believe it and stay away from it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 24, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the eye is the lamp of the body. If our eye is good, our body will be good. If our eye is bad, our whole body will be full of darkness. Again, this is impressing the point. What you see is so important. Young people, don't tolerate watching bad things. Yeah, you can't get away from all of it. I understand that. You understand it. But we all have to use some common sense. If it's got a lot of bad things and a lot of bad words and a lot of bad stuff and a lot of bad thoughts, get away from it. And if the people are bad and doing bad things, get away from them. Let me prove it to you again, a statistic. And this goes to Reuters News Service, February 21st, 2001. Almost one in five American teens say they live with hands-off adults. Almost one in five say they live with hands-off adults who fail to consistently set rules and monitor their behavior. These youths are at a four times greater risk. I think that's 400%. 400%. Four times greater risk for smoking, drinking, and illegal drug use than their peers with hands-on parents. Young folks, what is that telling you? That your parents need to be hands-on. That they need to set the rules, they need to set the guidelines, and you need to listen to them. And that is what you need. The Lord has told you that, and we, in all of our wisdom as human beings, have already learned that for ourselves. Young people, accept the discipline of your parents. Be like Joseph. Be like Joseph. I want you to turn your Bibles with me over to Genesis chapter 39. Again, in thinking about this lesson, Joseph popped into my mind right away. You remember the story of Joseph. He was Jacob's firstborn son of his wife, Rachel. And he loved Rachel more than Leah. And so since Joseph was the firstborn son of Rachel, he loved Joseph more than all of his other brothers and made him a coat of many colors. His brothers didn't like that, did they? They planned to murder him. At the last minute, they changed the plan and say, let's not murder him. Let's just sell him into slavery. We'll take this precious coat which our father has given to him. We'll kill a goat. We'll put blood all over it. We'll take it back to our father. They did that. Brought the coat to the father and said, Dad, do you know what this is? Do you know who this belongs to? Of course, they knew all the time that it was Joseph. They knew all the time that they were deceiving their father, and they allowed their father to just go on and believe a lie. Go on and believe a lie. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was purchased by Potiphar. He worked in Potiphar's house, and the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed Potiphar's house as long as Joseph was there, but there was a problem. Potiphar's wife looked upon Joseph and wanted him for herself and tried numerous times to molest him. Genesis chapter 39, verse 14. She caught him this time by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. Joseph fled youthful lust. He ran away. He ran away. And young people, when you're in a situation and it's not good, or you're uncomfortable, or bad things are going on, get out of it. Get out of it. And go to your parents. Joseph couldn't go to his parents. He was in slavery. Go to your parents. Tell them what's going on. Tell them what's happening. But the first thing you need to do as best you can is get out of it. Flee from youthful lust. Young folks, be wise. Accept your father and your mother's discipline. Obey your parents. Flee youthful lust. Do not compromise your faith. Well, if you do these things, what's going to happen? Well, I tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have the best life you can have. You're going to have the best life that you can have. We've already read about it, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. This is the first commandment with promise, the Lord tells us. And so you're going to have the very best life that you can have. And the promise is that things will be well with you and that you will live long upon the earth. Here it is on the PowerPoint for you. We've already read it once. When your parents tell you not to go to this place because it's evil, if you don't go there, it's going to save you a lot of heartache. If your parents tell you you need to do this and this is what you need to be doing, and you do that, it's going to save you a lot of heartache because you're going to be doing the right things and not the wrong things. You're going to be making the right choices and not the wrong choices. Let me give you an example of a 60-year-old woman who made the wrong choices. You see, it's just not with children, it's with everyone. When we disobey authority, we're asking for trouble. Jan Davis, 60 years old, thought she would prove a point that base jumping at El Capitan in Yosemite National Park was a safe thing to do. So she purposely went out and broke the law, knowing that it was wrong, going out to prove that it was okay and it was fine and nothing bad was going to happen to her. She was the fifth to jump off of El Capitan of six. Her husband was standing down videotaping it and watched her fall to her death, because she did not respect authority, because she disobeyed rule, because she disobeyed the law. And young people, when you disobey your parents and you disobey the rules and you disobey the laws, bad things are going to happen to you. And unfortunately, because you're so young, you cannot even begin to conceptualize what some of those bad things are. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of young people have died, possibly would be alive today, because they did some stupid thing. They were out too late. They went to the wrong place. They were in a car they shouldn't have been in. They were with people they shouldn't have been with. And their parents told them, be home at this time. Weren't home at this time. 2 hours later, there's a car upside down in the lake and a whole carload of kids are dead. Parents say, don't be out that late. Don't be in that car. Don't be doing that. Young people, a lot of young folks lose their life simply because they do not obey their parents. Young folks, obey your parents, and what the Lord has told you is right. Believe it tonight that it's going to be well with you, and that you'll live long upon the earth, that your life will be much, much, much better if you'll obey your parents. Because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. You need to listen to your parents. Not only will life be better for you, but life will be better for your parents. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20, a wise son makes a father glad. Young people, do you want to make your parents happy? You want to make them happy? I believe that you do. The one thing, probably more than any other, besides being a Christian, but part of being a Christian is what we're talking about, obey your mother and father. And you'll make them happy. Oh yes, they like the presents that you give them. You may go buy a little present at a birthday or Christmas time or something like that, and they enjoy that. And they enjoy you coming up and saying, I love you, and giving you a little kiss on the cheek or something like that. But more than anything else besides obeying the gospel and being a Christian, they just want you to do what they ask you to do, and they'll be happy. That's the greatest gift you can give your parents right there. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Young people, just obey your parents. Knowing that when you do, again, great young people here, I look out in the audience, I see them out, I see the interaction here. Know that as you obey your parents, you're just doing the best thing for them that you can do. And they think about you, and they smile, and they're happy, and that's just the best thing you can do for them. Proverbs 23:15. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad. Be wise. Be a Christian. Obey your parents, and your parents are going to be happy. Yes, you'll have a better life. Parents will have a better life. Young people, think about this. My time is quickly evaporating, and I'm getting close to being done. You too can help your parents get to heaven. You can do that. Young people, you're very important. You're very important in your families. You're very important in this church. And you are very important in the community and in your schools. You're very, very important. You're a blessing from the Lord. You're a gift from God. You too can impact your parents' life. You can help them get to heaven. Hebrews 10:24-25. How many times have we read it? We're talking about Christians as we assemble together. Oh, that's off. I'm glad mine's on. Yours is off. Mine's on. You want me to turn around and let you see it? How many times we talk about our assembly together, stimulating one another for love and good works? Young people, listen to me. When you're in your home, you're doing the right things in the Lord, you're stimulating your parents to good things. You're helping them be Christians. You're helping them do what God wants them to do, to be obedient to Him and to be good Christians. Remember Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3. Jesus says, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children. Young people, you're so important to the world because you're showing all the rest of the world what it means to be a Christian. Obey your parents. You're showing people what it means to obey God, to be in subjection to God. You're showing people a little bit about what heaven is like. That's the way God has created this world. That's the way the Lord has created it. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. Jesus says, let the children alone, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Young people, you're important. The things that you're doing are important. Who you are in your homes is important. And yes, you help your parents get to heaven. And not only that, young people, you help your friends. You help your friends by being a light to the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Being a light to the world. You go to school, you're a light in that school. All of your friends who are round about, they see you and the way you act and the way you are and the way you talk about your parents, and perhaps they come into your homes and they see your interaction with your parents. You are a light to the world. Maybe a long time from now, those kids are going to look back at you And they're going to think about you and who you are and what you are. And they're going to remember something about that. And very possibly that will help them make the right decision and help them get to heaven. Young people, might be one day as we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, one of those friends whom you've not seen for years and years and years may stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and look back and there you are. The one who was such a positive role model. Young people, understand that you are important in everything that you do and everywhere that you go. Summarize. Young folks, use the Bible. Use the Bible, the Word of God. It's just not something to carry around. It's just not something to waste our time in Bible class or preparing for Bible class. Use the Bible. Read it. Understand it the very best that you can and use that as your guideline to who you are and what you are. God wants you to obey your parents. God wants you to honor your parents. God wants you to be the light to the world that you are. God wants you to do that. He wants you to be wise and accept your parents' discipline. And if you do these things, He's promised you to have a great life. Great life. You too can help your parents as they help you. You can help your parents get to heaven. And wherever you go and whatever you do, you're either a positive influence or a negative influence. And I'm so thankful we have positive influences here tonight who are helping their parents get to heaven and showing their friends how to get to heaven. And possibly it will happen to you one day. You'll see one of your friends enter into heaven. And maybe they'll talk to you one day in heaven. And maybe they'll tell you what an impact you've been in their life. You may never know till that day when you get there. But know this, you are impacting people every day, everywhere you go. Because that's the way God's made this world in which we live. Young people, understand the great privilege you have. Understand how important you are. And understand how you impact others as you go to God's Word and do what He's asked you to do. Thank you for being the young people that you are. We're going to extend the gospel invitation now, number 293. Number 293. Come to Jesus tonight if you're not a Christian. That's where it all starts. If you're not a Christian, it's where it starts. Lord Jesus Christ is extending the invitation. He wants you to come. He wants you to be a Christian. He's made it so easy, as we talked about this morning. Simply believe that He is who He said He was. That is the Son of God, the Messiah. Just believe that. Repent of your sins. That's just to change your mind. Say, I'm not going to do the wrong things. I'm going to do the right things. May not even know what they all are right now. That's fine. Just make that decision. We'll help explain to you what the right things are. Be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that which you already believe. You've probably told your friends many times. Be willing to be immersed in water. Your sins will be washed away. You'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You'll rise up a new creation. You'll be a Christian. Your citizenship will be in heaven. You'll have a home with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're subject to the gospel invitation tonight, won't you now come to the front as we stand and sing.